1 Samuel 17. Amen. I know we're getting close to lunchtime. Don't worry about it. The first time I ever came and preached at Liberty, the very first time I ever came and preached at Liberty in that first brick building right there, I sat there and them folks sang and shouted and had theirself a time, and I was sitting there looking at my watch saying, my Lord, it's 20 minutes to 12. And then it got a quarter to 12, so I need to wait one more minute before I start preaching. They shout, Brother Robert, y'all shouted it out at a quarter to 12, and I got up and preached, and they didn't nobody go home. You know, it'd do us good to quit worried about what time we got out and start worried about what time we got in. Amen. Amen. 1 Samuel 17, my favorite place to preach in the Bible, bar none. I've preached more probably passages from this passage of Scripture than I have any other passage of Scripture, David and Goliath. And it's amazing to me, Brother Melvin, as many times as I've preached this, that God keeps showing you something different. That's how I know that this Bible is true, and that's how I know this Bible is powerful, and it's alive, amen. 1 Samuel 17, I'll start reading in verse 22. When you get there, say amen. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel he has come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why comest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him, and he turned from him toward another, and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail him because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Then Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. Go to verse 40. And when he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even in the scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine, and the Philistine came and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said unto David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, we ask your hand to be upon us. Thank you, God, for the reading of your word. Lord, I pray, God, you would move right now, Lord, in this church. I pray, God, you would encourage us right now, Lord, through your word. Thank you for what you've already done. But Lord, I still believe you're still trying to help somebody this morning. And get us out of the way. Let all the praise fall on Jesus. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. This is one of the greatest illustrations of faith and trusting in God in the whole Bible. Amen. David, I want to preach a little while on this. The voices of unbelief. David heard a lot of voices on this day, Greg. David heard a lot of voices on this day, and not one voice on this day encouraged him. That's the day we're living in. That's the day. I'm telling you, you turn on the TV, you don't get no encouragement. You turn on the radio, you don't get no encouragement. If you want encouragement, you better come to church. If you want encouragement, you better get into the Word of God. I'm going to preach this real quick. Put your seatbelts on and hang on, amen. I understand something. Number one, the voice of his own family was against him. Verse 28 says, Eliab, his older brother, heard when he had spoken to the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why comest down hither, and why whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart. He said, you only came down to see the battle. Sometimes family can be the hardest on you. How many of you ever got discouragement from your family? Amen. You can't do this. You can't do that. I'm just going to be honest with you. Some of us as parents, we need to start encouraging our kids to be the best they can possibly be. Oh, if I, let me tell you something. I get mad when I hear parents say, tell the kids, you can't do this and you can't do that. Let me tell you something. We live in an opportunity. We live in America where a kid can do anything he puts his mind to. Amen. And we're able to come to church, and a kid can be a missionary, a kid can be a teacher, a kid can be a preacher. We need to encourage those things instead of discouraging. David did not get any help from his brother. David's brother had no confidence in him. Right. Now, we got on to this a little bit in Sunday school this morning. I wonder why David's brother didn't have no confidence in him. Just one chapter before, what we find, if we find Samuel coming and into their town, and Samuel is looking to anoint the new king of Israel. And we understand that Samuel goes in, and David's father, Jesse, calls all the boys in, Brother Tony, and the first one is Eliab, standing head and shoulders above everybody else. Samuel said, this has got to be the one. And God said, no. Ain't it amazing how we can have jealousy in families? I just wonder if Eliab was still jealous over David getting anointed king. I just wonder, everybody else can be happy for you, but sometimes your family. Everybody else can be praising you and patting you on the back, and your family. He got no encouragement from his family. His brother tried to put him down and make him feel less than him. He said, who have you left those few little sheep with? You're supposed to be a shepherd. You're supposed to be watching those sheep. You ain't supposed to be out here in this battle. I'm telling you right now, if we can't quit worrying about what everybody else is supposed to be doing and worry about what we're supposed to be doing, hey, church would be a whole lot better off. Your family would be a whole lot better off. And America would be a whole lot better off. Quit worrying about what this one on that side of the church is doing. Worry about what's going on in your pew. Amen. 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 No encouragement. No encouragement. He said, you got too much pride. You got too naughtiness of heart. No encouragement from his brother. No encouragement from his leader. I read to you in verse 33, King Saul basically, this is the king of Israel. He tells David, he said, you cannot fight this man. He has been a warrior since his youth, and you ain't nothing but a teenager. And most scholars believe that David was about 15 or 16 years old at this time. And just kind of let y'all know something. David does a great job teaching Sunday school. If you ain't been coming to Sunday school, shame on you. Amen. But David has said this many times in Sunday school about teaching wrestling and how that, some of these kids come up and David would talk about how he would wrestle these kids. David is a grown man. There is a difference. Now you listen to me. There is a difference in 30-year-old muscle and 16-year-old muscle. Amen. There was a big difference, and King Saul saw the difference. He said, this man has been a warrior since his youth, and you have not, you are only a youth. And you got to understand something. You can't win. You can't defeat him. You're too young. He's way too strong. This was the leader. Understand something. We got too many like that. I want to be the kind of leader. I want to be the kind of pastor that encourages everybody. There have been times, Brother Robert, over the years, now you listen, there have been times over the years that I got upset about things in church. And I wanted to preach something harsh, Brother Tony, from this pulpit. And God said, no. You'll preach what I tell you to preach, or you won't preach at all. Let me tell you something, folks. And I was thinking about this as I was studying this, Brother Tony. For about 40 days or so, these men had been watching this giant, watching the enemy come in and mock them and make fun of them. And now you finally got somebody, Greg, that comes in and somebody says, well, hey, there ain't nobody else wanting to fight him. I'll fight him. Maybe their leader got a little jealous. What voices you been listening to? And then not only, now we got his family, and now we got his leader telling him he can't do it. Now what? Let's listen to what Goliath had to say. The Bible tells us what Goliath had to say. If you go back and look at it, about verse 42, and when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his God. The enemy did not take David serious. The enemy standing up here, Greg, almost 10 foot tall. He's got on a coat that almost weighs 500 pounds. He's got a spear with the end of it probably a foot and a half long. And he looks down, and there's this little fella. He ain't got nothing in his hand but maybe a rock and some stones. He said, what are you? He did not take him seriously. And see, that's how we quit. That's how you and I can defeat the devil. The devil ain't going to take you serious. Amen. See, that's the problem a lot of times. In life, we don't take things serious. Goliath looked down on him and said, you're too small. Goliath looked down and said, you're too young. Goliath looked down on him and he didn't take David serious. He didn't take David's weapon serious. Goliath standing there with, he's got a man carrying his shield. Goliath has got this sword, Tony, and most people believe that sword was at least about 6 foot tall. I've done some studying on that. And if you're 10 foot tall, that sword's going to be about 6 foot tall. Now, he said, I got this weapon. I got this. I got this shield. I got this spear. You ain't got nothing in your hand but a little bag on your side with some rocks in it and a rope in your hand. He didn't take him serious. So all this unbelief, all these things, and then to go on, Goliath thought David's God was a joke. Now listen. As I was studying this thing kind of popped out at me. The Bible says he cursed him by his gods. For 40-some days, nobody had proved Goliath wrong. You know why the world ain't taking us serious? Because we've been quiet too long. Goliath cursed him by his gods for 40 days. Not one person, Brother Tony, not one. This was the children of Israel. This was the people that God brought out through the Red Sea. This was the people that God had answered in the wilderness. This was the people that God had fed in the wilderness. This was the people that had seen miracle after miracle after miracle. And nobody on that side of the valley would come across there and fight him. He's too big. He's too strong. And every day Goliath would come out and defy the army. And Goliath would come out and defy Israel. And Goliath would come out and defy their gods. That's what the world's doing right now to us. The world comes out and the world says, hey, I don't take you serious. You ain't got, there's no power in the church. There's no power in your hands. There's no power in that book. But I'm going to go ahead and tell you something right now. There is power in that book and there is power in the church. Amen. And I want to stand up and tell Goliath, hey, I'm telling you today, there is power in my God. Amen. All these voices, all these things were coming against David. Nobody had proved Goliath wrong. But I want you to notice something. You know whose voice you never hear in this, Tony? You never hear the voice of God. As I was studying and thinking about this, And I know we got multiple times in the Bible where God spoke to people. The Bible, we was touching in Sunday school. God said he'd come down and talk to Moses face to face. There's multiple times in the Bible. I thought about it as I was studying. I thought about our Easter play, how that Clint plays Peter, and Jesus is walking on the water. He said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. And he heard the voice of Jesus. Nowhere in this scripture do you hear God come down and say, David, I got you. Nowhere in this scripture do you hear God come down and say, I got this covered. But David knew what God had done for him. David knew where God had brought him. And David knew he was serving a God that would not fail. Amen. The Bible says in Psalms 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth. David might not have heard God's voice, but he knew exactly what God had done. David goes back to, and David was at King Saul. He said, listen, there was a bear and a lion that come against me. He said, and I went out, and with the Lord's help, and I slew the bear, and I slew the lion. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be just as one of those. Now listen, here's where this thing got good as I was studying this. I got to thinking about it as I was studying. Everything's quiet. All the voices of unbelief are behind him. David's out there by himself. We know that Goliath had somebody carrying his shield. We know that Goliath had somebody with him. David's out there right by himself. He's done went down to the brook. He's done got five smooth stones. He's done put them in that little bag. He's got that slingshot in his hand. We don't know exactly how that slingshot was, but we know it was a slingshot, amen? And we get out there, and David and Goliath is fussing, and Goliath is, and David says this, you come to me with a spear and a sword. But I come to you in the name of the Lord. I believe at that point, Benji, God stood up. Whew. I believe at that point is when things kind of picked up in that valley. I believe at that point, sometimes God wants you to speak. Sometimes God wants you to have the faith. Sometimes God wants you to show up. I believe at that point, that's when God stood up and God stood behind David. You cannot tell me that a little boy with a slingshot and a rock can do what David did without the hand of God being on him. I believe David slung that rock. It hit Goliath right between the eyes and killed him on the spot. Pull it up, Riley. I want you another instance where you never heard the voice of God. I want you to listen to this. Probably one of my second favorite place to preach from. Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. We know Daniel, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is getting ready to face the flames. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they are in exile. They have been taken from their homeland, and they are slaves. The king makes this decree, you either bow down and worship me, or you die in the fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Hey, I know my God's able, but even if he don't show up and I die in this fire, I still ain't bowing down to you. I believe that's the attitude David had. I believe David had that attitude. Hey, even if he don't show up and you kill me, I'm still fighting for the one that I believe in. Amen. You never hear the voice of God in that, but guess who showed up when they got in the fire? What voices you been listening to this week? What voices you been listening to? See, the problem is if we only listen to the voice of unbelief, we don't ever do nothing. If Preacher Jacob Berry and his family would have listened to the voices that were telling them, he would never preach. They told him he won't live to get out of this hospital. They told him he won't live to be 10 years old. They told him he'll never speak, he'll never do anything. But guess what? Look what God can do. What voices have you been listening to? Don't you tell me that they're not talking to you, because they are. Every last one of us. Somebody testified a little bit this morning. I'll be honest with you, and I'm not throwing stones again. I'm being honest as I can be. I was a little bit discouraged with our revival. I know we had a hurricane, and we didn't have the numbers that I was looking for, but praise God, we had a time. Amen. Amen. We had a time. Yeah. And if I'd have Kevin, if I'd have listened to the voices of unbelief, I'd be so discouraged this morning that I couldn't go. Amen. But look what God's already done in this service. Amen. Amen. Look what God's already done in this service. What voices have you been listening to? What voices have you been listening to? You say, preacher, I don't hear the voice of God. Maybe God wants you to speak first. Amen. Maybe God wants you to speak first. And when you stand up and you do what's right, God will take care of the rest. Amen. I want you to bow your heads. Mike, come back.